Good morning, everybody. IT Live, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, Texas Homer here with Paul Wadlington. It is the Tuesday show. We will be talking about some forgotten wide receivers, not forgotten by you wonderful fans, but by the broader public, it seems. And then we're going to look at the defense position by position, continuing the series we did yesterday, starting with Eric. Did the defense at each position get better or worse? And then Paul will show you why he's multi-talented at the end when we talk Texas basketball. That game will be tomorrow night in the tourney. Sandman, hello. Roaster, good to see you, man. Sorry you couldn't make it yesterday. All right, Paul. Forgotten wide receivers. Straight out of the gate, we got Parker Livingstone. How do you feel about him? Expand upon Parker Livingstone, Paul.
Well, so the premise of it is we tend to focus in on the guys that we know that have already played, the known quantities, Ryan Wingo, DeAndre Moore. And then we tend to really focus on the latest, greatest freshmen that come in, right? Particularly this wide receiver class, which is very ballyhooed and vaunted. But we always forget about the guys that came the year or the year or two before who have been redshirted. They kind of get put in a drawer and we walk away and we kind of forget about them. It's like Toy Story, right? You play with the cowboy.
Exactly like Toy Story, Paul.
Exactly. And you get Buzz Lightyear and you forget all about the fun and the good times you had with Woody the Cowboy. So These three guys, we need some wide receivers to step up. We certainly are going to get a wide receiver in the spring portal. But we really need these guys to step up, at least one of them. So Parker Livingstone's the first. He's an interesting player, played at an outstanding wide receiver core in high school, the Lovejoy wide receiver group. Over about a 2 or 3 year period, they put four guys into major FBS programs, Parker being honestly probably first among equals. He was probably the guy more than any other there before he got injured. And he was dominant in many games. I think in the playoffs, he had a big game against Dallas South Oak Cliff. So I think that answers some questions about, you know, whether he was just sort of a regional hero. His skills translated. And what he's really good at is running down the field and getting deep balls.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be congruent with the skill set of a quarterback that you probably haven't heard of. But Arch Manning likes to throw bombs. And Parker Livingstone likes to run deep fades, go routes, and deep posts. And he's a guy who's shown some ability to grab those balls in space. He's not necessarily like people always think of that, like a jump ball kind of situation. It's more about winning the ball in the air on the move, like having a guy on your hip and you have the ball tracking ability and the coordination to run to the spot and make the catch with either hand, preferably both hands. But Livingstone seems to have that. And I think people take him lightly because he's kind of tall and gangly looking and he's working on his little wispy, like urban cowboy mustache and all that.
Say 1970s look.
Exactly. He's got a towny look about him, which is great. Bringing that back. But the guy's got some legit athletic skills down the field. And I think at minimum, I think there's going to be a sort of a game situation role for him, if not, you know, a guy who actually has the potential to break out. So I think whoever does beat him out, if they do beat him out from this freshman class, I think it's going to be because the freshman's really good, not because Livingstone doesn't have value.
Yeah, I mean, you have someone at 6'3", 195. You'd like to get that up to 205 or whatever, but 6'3", running sub 22, 200 meter, like you said, that's a long speed threat. That's someone who's going to be able to help you out on those fades or those super long crossers. So that's going to be important.
Well, if he's going to be on the boundary, he's got to be able to break through press coverage, right? We're not going to see a ton of that, but the teams that can do it, that can bring it, the Georgias of the world, they can make your life miserable if they just hang your guys up outside. So Parker's either going to have to develop – well, he's going to develop the technique and also get some strength in his upper body and, you know, because you're a big target when you're that tall and you kind of have an upright posture. You're presenting a lot of chest
to that, right.
That cornerback to put his hands on.
Yeah, it can work against you.
It can.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. His skill screams deep post fade go. All right, Aaron Butler. And we talked about him yesterday too, man. I like Butler. Did you ever watch the little overtime documentary they did on him on YouTube?
No. Tell me about it.
I'll send it to you. I'll text it to you after the show. But they just act it out. They just fall. That's what I'll do. I'll do an AI performance. They follow him around, and he acts like a pro. Like when he's at, you know, like whenever he's at getting his workouts in, getting his track workouts in, and stuff like that. Very like pro minded, kind of the mercenary style, which makes sense whenever we recruited him, you know, out of nowhere. But with the accompanied pro mindset, I'll send that to you. I plug it a bunch just because it stood out to me as a kid. I like the mental eval. Eric says he still needs to develop his understanding of the defense and, you know, that kind of young guy stuff. But as far as like athletic traits, the coaches are loving it so far.
So did Eric expound on any of that specifically?
No, just that coaches like what they're seeing there. He was able to come off the scout team making plays. If he can just, you know, identify a post safety and not run to the post, then he's going
to,
you know, he's
going to run to DBs.
Yeah. Then I think, yeah. So then he'll be strong there. So that's the only thing that Eric's kind of consistently pointed out, learning the offense more, but as far as ability, he has that.
So this video was when he was in high school.
Yeah. The overtime one. It was even before he committed. Cause remember he committed last second.
Yeah. Well, in fact, he committed without having visited Texas, which doesn't always, so he's got some things that's, I'm glad that I heard some positive on the mentally eval, because he had some things that suggested that could be in question. He shut down his senior year, five games in, so he could take a bunch of correspondence classes and be eligible for early enrollment. Yeah. I'm not sure if there was anything else there, or maybe that's just a sign of the times. And then, you know, you had the fact that he committed to Texas without visiting. He'd been committed to two other schools. There's some grumblings from other fan bases that, you know, this is a character concern. Maybe that's just because you didn't keep the commitment. But the thing that struck me is when you put on his high school film, when you're skinny, but you're already explosive, like you're not even strong yet. You just know it when you see it. There's just certain body types that you can see. And he's kind of like a durable skinny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you watch like Allen Iverson and you're like, oh, that guy's skinny. And then you're like, oh, he's made out of basically wire and, you know, and tendons and sinew. And you can't really like hurt him even though he's light and skinny. Yeah. I think that's Aaron Butler. And he's one of those guys that they project really well, that body type and his style, even his running style, which is kind of like glidey looking, that projects really well to SNC. Because once those guys actually put on weight and get strong, they get faster and faster and quicker, and they just develop more skills. And it's just kind of this movement skill that you see on film that, you know, of course, any highly rated receiver is going to be able to move around, but it's a question of what it looks like and are they good laterally? And Butler had all that. The other thing that's really good is he was a really good DB in high school and kind of a big hitter, even though he's skinny and little. And that always levels up really well, even if you play on offense. It means you've got some edge about you. It's like a little bit of a Xavier Worthy kind of mentality. I think that projects really well. So I'm encouraged to hear that there's some positives on the mental eval from that video you talked about.
Well, I think he's just like, don't get me wrong, he's a wide receiver. You know, so like they're a little bit, they have like the wide receiver essence to them. You know, it's like there's like a kind of like a unearned confidence, you know, and like all of that stuff exists, you know. But to me, it's like it looks like he was getting his work in. That's important. He likes the camera, right? He let him do a documentary about him. So I think there's going to be that wide receiver aspect. I'm not saying that, you know, it's a church mouse situation. But I like him as a player. I think he has a pro mindset. I think the transferring or the dropping commitments is oddly in the new era kind of a pro mindset. Like he's a free agent looking for where he should go. And it's kind of upsetting, but it is kind of what it is now. So it's like it's that. I think he was looking for placement. Showing up unannounced can be a little sketchy.
Well, there's the Matthew Golden pro mindset of, hey, I can upgrade my future, my career and really make something of myself going from Houston to Texas. And then he goes and just does nothing but put his nose down and work. And then there's the pro mindset of like Florida State last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is things aren't going well. Let's shut it down.
Yeah.
You know, let's quit. So hopefully he's more the former than the latter. And then finally, let's the guy that probably I had the least sense of is Freddie DuBose Jr.
How could you have a sense of, you know, he's been hurt.
He's been hurt. He's a guy that when you watch, you're like, man, this guy would really benefit from playing a lot of football, just getting more reps and more time. And he hasn't had that. He moves pretty well. He seems like a guy who'd be really good in the screen game, particularly. But he's a good track guy. I see more track guy in him than football player, at least from the snippets that I've seen of his high school. And if you guys don't know, he was a very highly acclaimed sophomore, kind of on potential and track. Junior year, got hurt. I think he played a game, got hurt, blew out his knee. Senior year, he came back. They had a good football team. And he was good, but didn't like put up huge numbers or anything like that. So I don't know. I think there's probably a lot for him to prove in terms of footballerness. And, he'll be given that opportunity this spring.
I mean, even in the recruitment process, this is like, he's raw. We need to see what he can do. And then he gets hurt, you know? So it's tough, you know, like not being able to see him. But like you said and pointed out here, I mean, all we know is that like raw traits are there. Can you turn those raw traits into footballerosity as you?
I'd say his tape that I've seen, he fights the football a little bit. And that's not always a good thing. You kind of like to see.
When is it ever a good thing?
Well, you kind of like to see a wide receiver like pluck the football out of the air like not battle to grab the football. And that's, you know, you want to be kind of a smooth catcher, especially if you're a yak guy, potentially, right? Yards after the catch. The transition of grabbing the football needs to be kind of seamless. It can't mess up your feet and what you do with the ball after. So, yeah, I'd probably say of the three, he's the one I least understand his traits and probably would project as least likely to make an impact right now. But, hey, beauty of spring practice, pads coming on, baby. They get to change minds.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now they're just hanging out. Spring breaking. Those damn kids. All right, guys, before we keep going, let's hear from Academy.
Days like this, the anticipation's half the fun. The call to adventure. Possibilities in every direction.
Look at that.
The stories you'll bring back. Right. Even the true ones. And always, already, you can't wait until next time. From first catch to biggest catch of the season, this is where it starts. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
When do y'all start warming up in Colorado, Paul?
Now?
No. You guys have the sun and everything we have? You have the same tilt of the earth and all that, turns out?
Yeah, the world shares the same sun.
Wow, that's cool, man.
Yeah. But we do share, we do have a different night sky in the southern hemisphere versus the northern hemisphere. I don't think most people know that.
Hey, guys. You always get a little extra out of our show, guys. Don't forget.
All right.
All right, Edge. So this is, did we get better from last year or did we regress? So I say better or worse. Eric, much more the intellectual. He goes with, did we improve or regress? All right, Edge, we lose Baron Sorrell. Okay. And then we have Colin Simmons, Ethan Berg, Colton Bosick, Zena Umiazulu, Lance Jackson. No brainer, improved, probably the the strength of the defense. How are you feeling about that edge room, Paul? It's a far cry from 4 years ago.
Good. Yes. It's not 2021 when we're taking third teamers from Alabama and trotting them out there as our hope, as our solution. He was a 5-star, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
The light might turn on in year 6.
Yeah. Don't worry that Saban let him go way too easily.
Yeah, dude, what a different world. I'm going to miss Sorrell just because he was such a physical player that was consistent, played so hard every week, and very underrated rated in terms of pressures. I mean, he led us in pressures last year. However, we've got some guys replacing him. And it's not just the top line quality and guys who do have experience like Burke and Simmons, but dude, our backups are really good. Like,
I know
we're going to put in backups that are, you know, to get some seasoning in some of these games to get 10, 15 snaps who are really good. We need to get Vosick healthy. Mm-hmm. That guy keeps getting hurt and he's got really high ability levels. I mean, this guy, I think he could be a star. And I mean, basically a part of a rotation of equals with Burke and Simmons. And he just got to get healthy. He keeps getting hurt. I think he's missing the spring again too. So got to fix that. Got to clean that up. But other than that, the edge room looks great.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Because like, what you have third string is like Lance Jackson, who's an absolute freak. And in 2 years is going to be a terrifying player. And then we have it here at the bottom. Eric does expect to see Trey Moore play off the edge despite his move to linebacker. But the fact that we needed to even move Trey Moore around to make it make more sense because we're so stacked at edge is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Trey was a logjam. And so go put him at linebacker for different sets. A lot of this is dependent on formation and, you know, personnel groups, right? If we're in a true 4-3, Trey's going to be out there. And my guess is he'll be playing like the Jet Bush role, if those of you recall, on the strong side, but lined up on the line of scrimmage. But Trey, if you watched him last year, he was really good in his drops when they asked him to drop at edge. He did a good job. He looked very comfortable doing it. So I think he can play linebacker. We'll see.
Yeah, they're going to have – I mean, what's interesting is the looks they're giving him where he's, like, you know, replacing Leonga is, a, like, a true will. Like, that's where it's, like, I have questions.
Yeah, I do too. You don't know until you see it. But they're going to figure that out in spring football, like, real quick.
Yeah. Besides Simmons, who's the breakout player? I'm banking on Burke. He has all the potential. Man, I want to see Ethan go, like, obsession mode. Because, man, he can get to the quarterback in, like, two steps. He shows up and makes, like, plays in a game. It'll be, like, one or two where you're like, damn, Burke, like, nice play. But what does Ethan Burke look like when he's hair on fire, football? I'm trying to get a contract, like, every down going after it. That's what I want to see the super on fire Burke. Because, man, he's awesome. Like the A&M play and stuff like that. He shows up and he can get to quarterbacks, but I want to see how kind of like our defensive tackles in their final years or close to their final years were able to like take that next step, that upperclassman step. Who do you feel about breakout wise?
This unknown sophomore, Colin Simmons. I think he's going to make his mark.
I would say, man, Vosick, if he can get healthy, he's like getting right there, setback right there, setback, you know.
Yeah, I mean he shows out every time he's in the game. He showed out in the playoff game against Ohio State.
Yeah,
he drew a holding call because he drove the offensive tackle about 7 yards in the backfield on a run play. Yeah, so yeah, that guy's got to get healthy. I don't know what's going on with that.
Future-wise, though, Lance Jackson, who I'm most excited for, dude. Like,
yeah, and we don't even have the freshman edge class on there. Some of the other guys, right?
Yeah, well, no, this is freshman edge.
What, isn't there one more, though?
Lance, I don't think he has Smith or Rogbo on here. He just has, like, in the mix guys immediately.
Okay.
Yeah. Smith's coming. The room's freaky, man, to go from not having any options there 4 years ago to like maybe we move Trey Moore to Will on some situation.
Yeah, can we play Ethan at defensive tackle on some exactly. pass rush sets?
Yeah, exactly.
Just trying to get guys on the field.
Yeah. This is a good question. Who would you put in the NASCAR? So this is this is what I think the coaches are thinking. So you'd have Simmons on the interior, like let's say like one of the transfers or like maximum out Justice Terry. If we're getting like pure pass rushian kind of stuff, Simmons, Terry, you could even move, like we said, move a Burke inside or keep him outside and have another DT. Then you have Anthony Hill at Mike who can fire, and then you have Trey Moore at Will who can fire.
Yeah, I was going to say the key to the NASCAR package is combining Anthony Hill, Moore, and Simmons in some combination.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have a fourth. Who's your fourth best pass rusher that can play inside? That's going to be Burke or Vosick.
And then you can also have Jelani McDonald at nickel.
Yep.
And so it's like, man, that's not fun. Like if you're a quarterback trying to figure out who can blitz you, they can all blitz you.
Yeah, I mean, you can theoretically have NASCAR packages where we're in dime.
Yeah.
And you bring Jelani McDonald, Hill, Simmons, and Moore. Everyone else drops. And those four freaking greyhounds just race around like madmen. And they're coming from weird angles you're not expecting.
Yeah.
You know, you can stack them on top of each other. You could have Jelani McDonald right behind Colin Simmons, and they each fire in a different direction. I mean, your quarterback is, unless it's Sam Leavitt, is not getting away from that.
Dude, Sam Leavitt. I mean, I rewatched that 2 weeks ago. That performance.
He's ridiculous.
Dude, he was just running for his life, man. I've never seen edges so exhausted, though. They were like, damn.
Or Sorrell. My God.
But that was hilarious, man.
Yep.
That performance. That's one of the funniest performances. All right, defensive tackle, we lose Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton, Jermaine Lole, Bill Norton. Cole Brevard is back. Transferred in. Travis Shaw transferred in. Hero Canoe transfers in. We have Alex January that I think is likely to start. The young phenom, Justice Terry, who's getting a lot of good reviews early. Josiah Sharma, big player. Future's bright there. These are all the young guys. Myron Charles, also future bright. And then Melvin Hills, who's kind of got lost in the mix from a couple years ago. But go with regressed, right? Which I agree. Seeing this room in like next year is when I really am going to feel good about DT again as like super top line. How do you feel? Do you think it got better or worse?
Worse, pretty significant downgrade. People don't realize Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton were really good for us. And Lole was a good third defensive tackle. Norton had some good snaps here and there. And
show up occasionally, yeah.
Yeah. He was useful, but we're going to really miss the top line guys. I mean, I don't think people realize how consistent Collins and often Broughton were against the run, particularly. And we'll feel that in some games. You know, we'll feel that. A sign of the times about the portal is that you had multiple guys from a 1-11 Purdue team that were courted by every program in the country.
Yeah.
Just to show you like the paucity of players that were in the portal available in the fall. I mean, we need a defensive tackle in the spring portal.
And
every other team in America, newsflash, needs a defensive tackle. So it's going to be crazy. You'll see a marginal guy like a Demonic Williams come out. You know, the guy
money.
You went to OU, who will get vastly overpaid simply for scarcity reasons.
Yeah.
Texas played that really well and said, buy Demonic, and they took OU's Lole, you know, commitment and paid a quarter of what OU paid for Demonic Williams. And Lole played exactly the same level.
Yeah, we got the exact – got the production. Yeah, Texas and Carter, it's like, we'll take three players for that one.
I guess we know now why OU hired a GM.
Yeah. What happens with GMs, man? Like, are we going to get to the future where – head coaches get fired, but your GM stays?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because in college, you'd assume the vast majority of GMs are subservient and subordinate to the coach. In fact, the coach hired the guy or recommended him. You could run into scenarios where he's part of the permanent state. He's part of the permanent infrastructure, the GM.
Yeah.
And the coach comes and goes, right? Like an NFL model. I mean, everything else in college football is going to the NFL model. Why not that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be super interesting. So yeah, we'll have to see with defensive tackle. I want to wait a year. I'll feel better there. But we're hearing really good things about Alex January. Excited about that. And then Eric also, we're going to be battling for one more, like you said, in the portal.
Good news on Terry is I've heard he's put on weight.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's about 270 coming in, and they think he's going to be around 300 pounds when the season rolls around.
Yeah.
Amazing what a meal plan can do.
It is. It is. So defensive tackle taking a step back. I think pretty much everyone agrees with that. Linebacker. We lose David Benda. Love David Benda, man. Shout out David Benda. We lose Maurice Blackwell. Also love Maurice. We return Anthony Hill, Trey Moore, bring in Brad Spence, return Leonga Lefau, return Ty Anthony Smith, and then introduce the young Elijah Barnes.
You like Benda and Black? You love them?
Yeah, why don't I marry him?
No, that's fine. But what players on the team do you hate?
I know. I think that's the trick there is you can just say the ones that you really like. You can't say the inverse, right? But I think the room's a lot better. Trey Moore included in the room. Like I said, still feel weird about it. As a Sam, it makes total sense to me because a Sam's not really a linebacker. Not really an off-ball linebacker. So it's like, but whenever we're talking about like taking Leonga off the field for Trey Moore, that's where I'm like, it seems like we're solving a problem we didn't have.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, and like, I get that like he can drop like to a flat, but can he drop 20 yards downfield? That's where it's different at a linebacker thing to me. Like you're trying to stop a, like a deep end. That's different than me than dropping to a flat. So I'd have to see with that. What do you think about Trey Moore as like a true Will?
Dubious. I like him more in the Sam role. So
same here.
I think the spring will tell us whether he can play it or not. Because here's the thing. One, it would help us. But two, it would really help his NFL projection.
It'll help him. The only thing that I worry about is slowing down Leonga's development and potentially Ty Anthony Smith. But Ty might be behind Anthony Hill. But I don't – these guys are ready to go. Like Leonga was a starter last year, pretty much. Like he needs to continue starting, and then Ty Anthony, we need him ready for the following year. So this is, to me, it's like, I get that it helps Trey's draft stop. It'll help us have more pass rush from that position. But it's just, like I said, it feels like we're solving a problem we didn't have there.
Well, also there's at any time we can just line him up at edge. He knows what to do there as well. So yeah. These aren't like, we're trying to create options. We're not trying to put ourselves in cement. That's the whole idea of this. So I wouldn't get too literalistic about some of this. I mean, some of this is we're trying stuff out. And then Ty Anthony Smith, I think he's like Jelani McDonald, in that the more you play him, the more difficult it will be to take him off the field.
Yeah, he's going to activate.
It just, as the season progresses, you're going to struggle to want to take that guy off the field because he keeps making tackles and making plays. So Leonga Lefau really needs to have a big offseason because – he does some good things, but he's weak.
It can be a little 50-50.
He's not physically strong, and he needs to get stronger. Guys run through him. He can get pushed around. He can get bullied a little bit. A lot of the times he was shielded by Collins eating double teams, you know, or Baron Sorrell doing a lot of dirty work in front of him. There's going to be cleaner releases on our linebackers than in the last 2 years. When you've had this run of defensive tackles we've had, I don't think we realize the degree to which our linebackers are untouched.
Yeah.
And they're about to get touched. So they better get strong and they better figure some stuff out. Part of the reason I think we brought in Brad Spence, part of the reason is because he played his best game of the year against us. So great timing there. But he's a pretty explosive and athletic guy. And I think they're just trying to bring in more physical guys who – have some ability to blitz and have some ability to just hold up and stand up. Because, you know, like I said, we're going to see teams not having to double team our defensive tackles on every down as they have the last couple of years.
Yeah. And I know the coaches have really loved Leonga. Like he was getting talked about 2 years ago of like,
yeah,
this is the type of player we want at linebacker. So we just got to see
good coverage instincts.
Yeah. And so that's going to be have a lot of value. So we'll see. And then let's keep on rocking.
Barnes is a freak, but he's going to be Ty Anthony Smith from last year.
Dude, his jump from junior to senior year was crazy impressive too. Like,
yeah, he'll be on, you'll notice him on the kickoff teams.
Yeah. Like he's special athlete. He can move in space too, but also just like to make that jump from a junior senior year too shows like a mental eval. That's important as well. So it's like we're going to be all right at linebacker, even though we're kind of spotty on like sometimes we take them, sometimes we don't. It's weird. All right.
It's funny. I don't know about you, but I saw people on the boards complaining about our depth at linebacker. It's actually good. We only play two at a time, I mean, 90% of the time. So
yeah, I'm not worried about it, especially if you're mixing in Trey Moore.
Yeah. We've got, man,
you got pass rushers here, man. Like Anthony Hill, Trey Moore, Brad Spence, like all three of those can pass. This is going to be a fun team, dude. Like you do not do avoid third downs against us, man.
Yeah. The key is the DTs need to play well. And the linebackers need to play well on standard downs and get people in third down.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. We need Anthony Hill and Leonga, whoever, to be able to stop the run. All right. Safety. We lose Andrew Mukuba. Another player that just balled out for us. And I'm glad, too. I'm seeing the scouts, not the fake scouts. Like, I like this guy, but the
NFL draft Twitter guys.
Well, the film scouts, you know, that can actually are the telling ones who you don't what.
Follow college football at all and then watch highlights and make, and then they make a bunch of pronouncements about a player.
Yeah. Though I saw one yesterday that was good. And it showed Mukuba basically, you know, coming down to potentially stop the run, realize that it's a deep end. Drop back, and then that's where he looks for work, and then he runs and goes and robs the deep end and interception, one of his better plays. But just shows like his intelligence too, man. Mukuba, his intelligence, his ability to read the pass, deep pass, and under you have to understand concepts to do that. And on top of that, he would hit guys so hard you would just auto assume it's targeting because of this era, you know.
Yeah,
like it's got to be a target. That guy's head moved. And you watch it and it's like, no, he's landing clean hits and just like KOing guys. So losing Mukuba is a, you know, you'd want him on your team every year, but we are going to return Michael Taft, which was a really big play that we needed to do, especially losing our two coaches, right, man? Like you need that consistency and mindset left in the room. Derek Williams coming back off an injury, exciting player. How's he going to do coming back off the knee? Jordan Johnson Rubel. We keep talking about him in the context of like a heady safety, a smart safety, blah, blah, blah. But Eric said that he posted like 21.5 and 22 mile per hour is where they start calling you like fast. So he's right there too. So it's not, we don't have to just give him the label of like heady safety. It's like, we got a smart athletic player. Phil Sami is known as one of the top, I don't know, three fastest players. And then Zealous Hicks reclassified would have been a top safety in his original class. So we have talent here. But Eric goes with regressed.
Yeah, I think we do because of Mukuba.
Yeah, I think he is that important.
Hey, Zealous Hicks, I'm really glad we got him. It is a real opportunity lost that he didn't go to A&M. Zealous Hicks.
I was going to say the last name too. Like it does have a very farmerly name.
Go to a Midnight Yell and there's a bunch of Zealous Hicks.
It's mostly Zealous Hicks.
Mostly Zealous Hicks.
Yeah.
Not apathetic urbanites.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a good one. Is
Mukuba? Yeah, I think the big is Mukuba the top safety in the draft? No. He's about 180 pounds. That's gonna be the thing that's gonna hold him back.
Yeah.
In NFL draft boards, but I love Mukuba. Derek Williams is gonna be huge here. He's gonna be key. Obviously, they expect him back, or else I don't think they would have moved Jelani McDonald from safety.
Right.
We'll see. We still have the option of moving Jelani back, obviously. Jordan Johnson-Rubel coming up big is important. People were describing him as the Black Taff, right?
Yeah. Well, exactly. But whenever you hear like heady athletic safety, it's like you're normally being like, he's not very athletic. He has to be smart.
But well, the funny Jordan thing Johnson-Rubel. Is Taff is pretty athletic. I wouldn't say he's like elite, but
it's just not. You know the football code words, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Because Taff's not unathletic. So Xavier Fosame is interesting because he was a big recruit, kind of went to the drawer, like we talked about earlier, right? He's Woody in Toy Story. Truth is, what I saw of him in the spring when I did see him back when we had spring games, he was terrible. Like he had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Obviously, that will change over time, and he'll get more confident. But I think there may be some immaturity with him. So if he blooms, I think it'll be a little later in his career than early. But that's 100% my sense. I don't have any intel on that. So we'll see on Phil Sami. But if you go back and watch that spring game from last year, he was awful. He had no idea what was going on at any point. But he's got a lot of. He's got a lot of traits, as they say. So it'll come. And then Hicks, I don't have a good bead on, but I think they'll put him in the drawer and let him develop.
Paul, before we keep going, can you tell our beautiful viewers where They should get their mortgage.
Yeah. We talked about Taft as a coach on the field. You need to coach through this house buying process. And the guy that you want to play for or put in the game for you is Gabe Winslow. You can reach him at 832-557-1095. 2 decades in the industry. He's got a law degree, honors graduate from the University of Texas, former National Merit Scholar. This guy is as sharp as it comes, and he's expert at what he does. Go read his Google reviews. I think he's up to like 195 of them, all 5 stars, with lengthy paragraph after paragraph about how he solved a problem for them and helped them get their dream home. Call Gabe, find out why he's the best. 832-557-1095, and tell him Texas Homer sent you.
All right. We actually just got a super chat here from Freelance Society. Crazy. Crazy to think Texas and OU could be the top two defenses in the SEC. Will OU's front seven be the hardest matchup for Texas this season?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think so.
I'm going through like all other fronts right now, just trying to think.
The assumption is that because Georgia lost some guys that they're like bereft.
Yeah.
But the reason Georgia's been Georgia the last 3 years is that they lose all these guys, and then there's a bunch of dudes behind them that you don't know about that are as good. OU could have a good front. I think they'll have a pretty good defense overall. But I don't know, man. I'm not sure that that's going to hold. We'll see. What about Ohio State? Are they just completely... I mean, they're kind of like Georgia.
They're just going to reload.
Yeah, I mean, I know they lost those two edges, which is big. They lost one of the defensive tackles that was actually good. But I'm curious if they just reload. Also, we don't know what the spring portal – this is the ultimate dodge for these questions of the offseason. We don't know what's going to happen in the spring portal. So,
you know. The real answer, Freelance Society, for me is I do not know.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to like – I mean, what you're getting Jaden Jackson back, but it's just like I haven't scouted the other teams to know who's going to come back. Especially in the SEC, there's always going to be like some weird front that I'm not expecting that's going to have like two first rounders on it.
Yeah, I mean, like does Florida? So, like, part of it is you don't know the pipeline, and that's the problem with the SEC is you try to project things based off of graduations and pro and transfers. And that's accurate for an Arkansas. Like, Arkansas is doomed next year, or this year, I should say. But can a team like Florida, right, who they've been recruiting, and it's guys we don't even, to be truthful, we don't know about, really, unless we can recruit it against them. So they've been put in the hopper, and they're waiting to make their push. Florida needs to bench that 460-pound dude. That's ridiculous that they keep trying to do that. But,
so weird.
Yeah, it is weird because he's not good. But, yeah, I mean, look, you could just have random teams in the SEC have a good front because of recruiting, and you don't know what people have behind them. But I would think if someone's going to surprise us, it would be Georgia because they're Georgia.
I'll say, but don't let them surprise you. It's like Georgia, like, fool me 19 times. Shame.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And also their coaching, man. Like, they have talent, but – it's talent combined with coaching, man. Because Georgia plays mean, man. It's
against talent. Us.
Well, again, exactly, dude. That was so annoying, dude. Trying
against
to do
everybody else, they're kind of like ho hum. Hope
my analysis, dude. Like, they're like, guys, trust me. Georgia's weak this year, and then they both years play like 85 Bears. All right, cornerback. We lose Jahdae Barron. Huge loss, man.
Yep, big loss. Cool.
Yeah, we lose Gavin Holmes, return Malik Muhammad. Jalen Gilbo will likely start opposite outside. And then we have Warren Roberson, Kobe Black. Kobe Black, of course, the big corner. The room regressed. I think that's obvious.
Barron, we lost a lot of ability and a lot of football IQ. And then dude. Holmes is a good
leadership.
Third corner. Mm-hmm. Actually, his pro day will be interesting.
Yeah.
He could catch on in the NFL, like as a UDFA. It's possible. Good use of the cough button there.
Yeah, I think he has good speed too.
Muhammad,
yeah, you got time.
Which one do we see? The guy we saw the first 8 games of the year, or the guy who kind of fell apart down the backstretch?
Yeah, that was weird. That was just weird. It was just like, it was like two or three games where it just like, but also it's like, if you're writing a game plan, it's like, well, who are you going to throw at? You're not going to throw at Barron. So it's like, you're going to have to, you're going to design concepts. And a lot of the times, like the stuff with Manny would be like, there was a couple times where he just got beat, but some of it were like, they were high low on him. You can't be right. You know, type stuff. So I don't know. We'll have to see.
I mean, a couple of the times he got beat, he like didn't even line up correctly.
Yeah, that there was some like
he's not even advanced as the ball snapped, and then the guy that clearly burns him, he turns and is like pointing to people. Like
that's where I was like, what are we doing? Because like they would catch the ball on him, and then he would start, and I was like, there's no coverage where that wasn't your guy.
We don't need all the histrionics, man. Yeah. Gilbo, I'm skeptical at corner. We'll see. So the reversal of roles, everyone was skeptical about Jahdae Barron at corner. I was like, he's going to be great.
Yeah.
Now everyone's like, Gilbo's going to be a corner. You know, it's all going to be good. Jahdae Barron did it.
Jahdae's a very special person.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Gilbo at corner, but the coaches seem to think it's going to happen. And so... I mean, they have better insight into these players than I do, believe it or not.
They tend to get these right, man. Like, we don't need to do the appeal to authority because there's no thought process and just like trust the coaches. That's, I hate that. But it's like when they've made these moves, they have tended to work out. It's not like previous staffs where I was just automatically
prior staffs. Anytime I doubted them, I was right
100% of the time. That's what I was gonna say. exactly.
But with this staff, if they say something's gonna happen, and yeah, you'll see. Then yeah. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll see.
Yeah. And that's the difference, is like trying to get rid of that mindset. Cause like I was almost suspicious to go the opposite of what I was told with our previous staffs.
Yeah.
You know, and then this one, I'm like having to unlearn that. It's pretty interesting. He started over Barron in 2022. Same thing. We've heard for years that the coaches really like Gilbo, all that stuff. Eric's reported that he's got the speed to play long. Long ball, which is a huge point of contention there. So we'll see, man. And corner, of course, is your supreme athletic position, but it's not as mentally varied as a nickel. So if you can simplify and run, you can do all right there. Star, the nickel, the fifth DB, the guy you see in the slot. We lose Jalen Gilbo.
Yeah, I think this is a big upgrade. I think Jelani McDonald's an NFL player. And
you see Eric
go out. Just, I've loved that guy since high school. When you see him and what he does, you know, when he did it in high school, just sort of playing the win the game position. Just unbelievable athlete. Then you see his high school basketball highlights and you're like, this is a different dude. And he is that dude. Probably our best tackler last year. Believe it or not, from a consistency standpoint, Makuba had the biggest wows. But Makuba would also shoot himself like a missile. And if you look carefully, there are a few games where he got jumped over, or the guy, you know, dodged him, and Makuba, you know, caught air. But when he hit a guy, that guy was aware.
Yeah.
But McDonald was probably the most consistent tackler on the team.
Well, Eric had a piece yesterday that. A source said first rounder.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely possible. I mean, he is a dominant athlete. He's got the right mentality. He looks mm-hmm. he looks like a smart player on the field.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a potential star. At star.
He's got the NFL player thing. Like, if you're just watching, like, I could take a family member that doesn't watch football and be like, who looks like they're going to be an NFL player? You know, like
that guy.
Yeah, they would say, like, it'd be that guy. And then behind him, Wardell Mack, athlete, and then Ryan Neblett, also an athlete that we're like searching desperately to get a role. So I agree, Ryan Nelson, the athleticism at star this year will be really deep. Now it's, can they play, you know, the mental side of star, which is tough, right? Because you're defending the run and you're doing the pass, and sometimes you're doing man stuff, sometimes you're carrying deep. There's a lot going on at the position. So the athleticism will be there. Hopefully the mental side will be there as well. All right. I feel good about it.
So overall, defense takes a step back, right?
Yes. But dude, we had a legendary defense, you know, like this year. It's like almost like a duh, you know, it's like one of the best ones we've ever had. So yeah, I would say one of the best ones we've ever had. And then we're losing like the intelligence of a Makuba and a Baron is huge to me.
Yeah, I mean, we could be a top five, top 10 defense and still regress.
Correct.
So
yeah,
all good.
I think, but like, what do you think about like raw athleticism? I think we have more raw athleticism.
Jelani helps a lot in that regard. Colin Simmons as a sophomore.
Anthony Hill returning.
Hill coming back. I mean, yeah, there's a – I mean, Brad Spence.
Right.
Has a lot of twitch, and he's your, like, role linebacker off the bench, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I don't want to underestimate, like, what Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton compared to Travis Shaw and Brevard. Like,
it's almost like, to me, it's like –
those here's are different levels of football player.
For sure. It's almost like we're going to have to beat you in the pass rush this year. You know, it's like that's where it's like to me going to we're going to have to leverage the most. And then we're talking about doing dime, not situationally, like doing dime on first down is so like setting up that kind of stuff, which shows that like, hey, we want to get our smaller, faster guys on the field. That's what's going to be interesting. Now, can we situationally stop the run like we did last year where we would give you the run if you wanted it, but whenever you needed it, you couldn't have it. And so I want to see if we can do that this year, but defense will take a step back, but how much in year five with consistency and you're getting Akina, you're getting Nansen, you're getting PK, you have three defensive minds, you're getting a brain trust going. It'll be interesting to see, but yeah, I think of course you're going to take a step back. That was just such an incredible defense.
Yeah. I think over time, the teams that are able to, and there's not many, the plan against Texas might be to bully us.
Yeah.
Get big, go double tight, try to run the ball downhill.
Yeah, because if you hear what we've been talking about all offseason, it's like, hey, man, look at these third down packages. Look at these pass rush packages. Hey, we're going to do dime on first down. These are all smaller looks.
Yep.
So it's like that would be the move. All right, Paul, you guys ready to talk some basketball? I'm a basketball expert.
You are.
You know everything about it. I've been called just truly insightful at this sport. But basically what we're going to do is just ask Paul questions because I do not understand basketball enough to not sound like a charlatan and just talk about team toughness the whole time.
Yeah, you guys bring your questions. Obviously, we play Xavier tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We made the first four game. It's always contentious. I always laugh at the people who are outraged at the bottom of the bracket of the last teams that get in because how could you possibly pass up this team? They're amazing. They deserve the tournament. It's like, if they deserve the tournament, we wouldn't be talking about them.
Right? How many teams do you get into the tournament?
68.
Dude, you get what I'm saying? Where it's like, dude, if you're – come on, man. Like, if you're the 69th team, dude, it's different when the playoffs four teams, dude. But when we're dealing with 68, dude, it's like
– well, college basketball, in fairness, does have a little more depth.
It does, but it's still like –
that is my feeling too, Connor.
Like, yeah, where it's just like, come on, man.
Once you expanded the field from 64 to 68, I don't really want to hear. Yeah. And what's funny is people are like, North Carolina was 1-12 against the quad one.
Yeah.
This team was 3-9. The 3-9 team clearly deserved it. And it's like, all right, relax.
Didn't the West Virginia like attorney general like announce?
West Virginia governor held a press conference. Yeah. It said it was deep corruption.
Dude, he had a banner that said, like, national corruption, blah, blah, blah. Like, they made a graphic on the podium. I was like, man.
That's a state where he understands, like, what buttons to push, right?
Well, dude, the problem for politicians, man, no one likes the NCAA. It's the easiest win ever. You know,
Well, here's the thing. North Carolina's AD was on the selection committee. He was the chair of it.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, of course I left the room when they discussed North Carolina. Yeah. It's like, yeah, your wife or girlfriend can leave the room briefly. You still have to answer to her.
Right, exactly.
It's like, you make some unilateral decisions she's not down with about dinner.
Yeah, but it's like, that's what I don't get. Like, because they're also putting the Baylor AD on, like, the football committee. It's like, why are we doing that? Like, sitting ADs, you're just inviting conspiratorial allegations.
It should be me.
Yeah, exactly. It should be Paul.
Yeah, right. The funny thing about West Virginia, North Carolina, all that stuff is West Virginia, I do think, had the better resume than North Carolina, but they went to the Big 12 tournament and lost in the first round to Colorado.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have only yourself to blame. Colorado's terrible, Connor. You don't know that. But
oh, I know that, dude. Okay. Colorado, can you lose to Colorado? Are you kidding me? You can't do that.
All right, let's talk about Xavier, or you guys ask questions, anything you've got. Well, Connor's not going to ask good questions.
Yeah. Hey, who's good basketball player? Do your preliminary scout, like your top three, I think, is who you...
The Three Musketeers. The
Three Musketeers, yeah. Who are they?
So Zach Fremantle is a fifth-year senior. You don't see that often in college basketball for all-conference players, but you do when you're Zach Fremantle. This is a guy who should be playing pro ball right now in, like, Australia or South Korea. But he kept coming back for eligibility. That tells you something about his NBA upside. But this guy's college upside is pretty good. He's one of these really experienced players. He's kind of groundbound. He's not a post that's, you know, going to turn around and jam on you. What he has is a good hook, good right hook, running hook, and a standing hook. He can hit shots in the paint out to the elbow. He can drill an open three if you lead him wide open. And basically, he's one of these bigs that's almost like a mid-major big that just gives people headaches against, quote-unquote, more talented teams because he's just played a lot of basketball. And so that's the guy that they throw the ball into the paint when they need a basket. But he's limited by his physical limitations. He's not an elite athlete. He's a good basketball player. And then the guy that's their best athlete, Ryan Conwell, he's about 6'4", 215. He's kind of built like a football player, but he can shoot threes. So that's his special power. He's jacked. He's built, but he can actually drill threes. He's a transfer from Indiana State. Before that, South Florida. This is the story for every guy on their roster. Like, this is their third team. He dropped 38 on Marquette in the Big East tourney in a 2-point loss. And he can defend, but he's actually kind of off and on as a defender. He gets bored and he tries to rest so he can play offense. So he's a guy that we need to attack on both ends. But if there's a guy that's going to take over this game, it's Conwell.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah. And then finally, the third musketeer that you need to worry about is Dalen Swain. He's a big wing. And this is the guy that you need to pay attention to specifically for the matchup with Texas and Trey Johnson. Trey Johnson struggles with fouls. Trey Johnson really struggles when people penetrate against him and drive to the rim relentlessly. That's what this guy does. So Xavier is mostly shooters, but this guy is their driver. And he can't shoot threes at all, as you may have noticed by the 19% three-point accuracy. But he can put the ball on the court, and he can drive to the hoop. And he's good at drawing fouls. And Xavier, as a team, their superpower is they hit their threes and they hit their free throws. They're 79% free throws as a team, which is very good. Texas is the foulingest team in the SEC. It's not because of lack of athleticism per se. It's because we have low basketball IQ and we lack fundamentals. And we foul a lot. And they're dumb fouls. They're not smart, productive fouls. So that's where this guy is going to be a problem. Swain, keep your eye on him. And they're going to use him and they're going to use Conwell to attack Trey Johnson relentlessly off the dribble. And we've got to be disciplined enough not to foul. Why? Xavier cannot convert contested two-point shots. They hit threes and they hit free throws. So if you're dumb enough to foul them and put them on the line, you deserve to lose the game.
So are they going to try to work inside to draw the foul?
Not really. I mean, they've got the one guy inside that they dropped the ball off to in Fremantle, but he's more upper paint kind of guy. He's not like deep position, driving his butt into you, turning around, trying to get a foul.
Yeah.
But they try to get their fouls on the drive and by moving, like constantly moving with the ball. So they're good at initiating secondary offense. They've got multiple guys who can put the ball on the court and try to go get a foul. And failing that, they need to hit their threes. If they don't do those things, you realize very quickly why they're a 21-11 basketball team They were 1-9 against quad one teams, 20-2 against everyone else. So what does that mean? It means when they played a quality team, they lost. When they played bad teams or average teams, they beat them. So this is a high floor team. We, Texas, are a pretty high ceiling, low floor team. Meaning we can lose to almost anybody if we play dumb enough. South Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Xavier played South Carolina and they beat them exactly the way you'd expect them to have beaten them. Whereas we struggled with them and then we acted like, oh, this is, you know, this is all a great mystery. So Xavier actually was pretty no sure thing to get in the tournament. They were 14-10 in early February. And then they went 7-1 down the stretch in the Big East. Big East is not very good this year. So
bit of a mirage run.
Bit of a mirage.
So the biggest thing you said, no dumb fouls because we don't want them to get to the line. Is there any other major matchup mismatches here on either side? Texas holds a huge advantage or Xavier holds a huge advantage?
You know, Xavier doesn't really defend that well. They can't protect the rim at all. They don't have any shot blockers. Their bigs are not super dynamic and they struggle on rotations. So they've got a couple of really good athletes, but broadly they only play eight guys and the sort of other five or the four of their eight are guys who can't really move their feet. They're not very quick. So the way they defend is they sort of defend the spots that are the easiest spots to hit a basket from, or they'll pack the lane if you're not hitting your threes. But if you can hit intermediate shots off the dribble, you'll get a shot. You'll get a wide open shot. They're just not that good defensively. So they try to cover up that by just sort of playing the odds. And Texas isn't exactly a slick offensive team, but hopefully maybe Tremont Mark being healthy will help us in that regard.
Yeah.
That's all I got. If you guys got any questions, bring them. I mean, they could be about anything if you don't want to talk basketball. That's cool. I understand that watching this team has not energized the basketball spirit.
It's like a slow death. Everyone that follows basketball. When they made the tournament, there was this weird like excitement and anger mix.
You saw the picture of Rodney Terry's exultant and CDC's like...
Yeah, it's like... yeah, it's... It's got to be super awkward there, man. Super awkward. Here's a question. What's your draft evaluation on Shedeur Sanders?
Man, there's a lot of stuff I love about Shedeur Sanders. He's really tough. If you watched him play, that guy takes crazy abuse. He's very accurate. He knows exactly where to go with the ball.
Yep.
That translates really well to the NFL, even if you have a weak arm, which he does. It's not pathetic. It's not Chad Pennington. But, you know, you say that, Chad Pennington was an effective NFL quarterback.
Dude, if you're smart and accurate, that's how you solve that.
So here's the problem I have with him. This is the NFL rumor. I'm not sure if it's true, but it does jibe with some things that you see from him. They said he was pretty cocky, arrogant in his player interviews, to the point where some teams were sort of wondering, like, I think this guy is purposely being an ass so we don't draft him.
Yeah, there's some gamesmanship.
And that's fair. But if you're not a clear, like, top 10 pick at quarterback, you should be happy whoever has interest in you, because at least they have some sort of plan for you. And the idea that you think that you know their roster better or their direction or their coaching better than they do, for a guy like Shedeur Sanders, that's probably a little arrogant. So, you know, I don't think guys in his position should be releasing lists of here are the teams I'll play for. And also, I think the concern is it going to be a zoo? Like, is this guy going to be about his brand? Is this guy going to be, are you going to be hearing Deion chirp when he's not starting, stuff like that? So I think he's a really interesting prospect. And the things that people are denigrating him for are not the things that I think actually matter. I think it's more
it's not on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's He's good. If he plays for a horrible team, he'll be really bad because he won't. He's a guy that would really like, if you could just eliminate the off the field stuff and put him on a pretty good team with some weapons, he's actually, I think he'd be a pretty effective NFL quarterback. I really do.
So I don't mind, like, I don't mind quarterbacks leveraging not going somewhere because these NFL teams are, a lot of them are dumb. They do destroy quarterbacks, you know? So it's like, I guess it comes down to like, it's not what he said, it's how he said it. But it's like, I don't mind when they leverage these teams because a lot of these guys are dummies and will destroy quarterbacks. So it's like, I'm okay with it. The thing with Shadur is like, and I've seen him in different settings, you know, is he just taking a page out of Dion's book and doing the prime character? You know, is Shadur like, is this performance? Or is this not performance and it is raw arrogance? That's where it's like got to be kind of tricky. But as far as like you said, like intelligence, like he knew the offense, man. Like his offensive line that year, that first year, was just getting slaughtered. And he was just knew how to step, knowing exactly when that route was going to come open and when to get there. So the intelligence is no question. The accuracy is no question. Play extension, maybe too much play extension, but
too much play extension. He's gonna have to learn to like get rid of the ball in the NFL. Like there's no holding onto the ball and running around this way and that. That doesn't fly in the NFL. So he'll learn that. I mean, I don't know who's gonna draft him. I feel like that's a risky draft choice.
I don't think maybe if he has to wait like 3 years.
Well, what I mean by that is if he fails, people are like, yeah, God, how could you not know that guy's is like with the zoo that comes with him?
Yeah.
Yeah. As a GM, I just feel like there's a lot of risk, downside risk. So I'm just thinking about job preservation, which is what a lot of NFL GMs think of first and foremost. Like, what's the safest pick I can make?
That's why they suck.
Yeah. You should be taking big swings, right?
Yeah, dude. Well, it's like, look, what is your quarterback hit rate anyways? Like they hit like what, 30% of the time? So you're going to be wrong. So you might as well be wrong with high upside. Most of you guys are wrong with not high upside. It doesn't even make sense. So I like Shadur. I think he'll have a good career. I think like that's what I'm thinking is like, is it pure his ego? Is he playing the role of his dad where his dad will like kind of turn into this character? I don't know, man, but it's like any quarterback, man. You put him in a good system with good people around him, he's probably going to be all right. But that's why I'm okay with him leveraging, like, I don't want to go to your team, dude. Like, I know you're going to destroy me, you know?
Yeah, well.
It also defeats the point of a draft. But also, like, the draft is silly because we're watching, like, really talented quarterbacks get slaughtered, you know? And that's not cool either. So I don't know how you solve that problem. It's tricky.
It is tricky. Who's the better prospect, Sanders or Eli Manning? Eli Manning is the better prospect. Yeah. He's got two
wins. And Eli created the concept of I'm not going there.
Well, John Elway did it.
Well, yeah, that's true. But
so I think maybe he meant to say Arch Manning.
I think I thought he was making the connection that they both were leveraging.
Oh, well, Eli Manning was the better prospect.
Yeah. But who it's going to be? I don't know. It's going to be Arch, dude. Arch is going to be irresistible, dude. Like you said, those GMs that like have to make safe picks, and I don't even think Arch will be a safe pick, but Manning's the safest pick you could ever make. No one's going to be like, don't take Arch Manning.
Well, you know what's wild is the NFL draft Twitter of its day, which was the rumor mill. There was like a no-S big battle between Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf. Yeah. And there was this minority of people who were like, oh, Leaf by far. You know, Manning is just
– especially Manning. But then you see Leaf and then Manning year one. So that was a fun one. It is fun to watch these. Like, but it's also scary how much quarterbacks can bust and how much of like – the talented ones were unpredictable.
Yeah.
And it's a crapshoot, man. Like a lot of these like draft guru, even in the building, this is a pretend job. If you say like the right, you say the right traits enough, like you're always going to be right. You're never wrong. Cause when they don't pan out, you can just say, well, he ran a 4.4 and that's all we're looking at. Like,
quarterback is tough because it gets overvalued. Thus, there's a desperation about it. And you don't want to be the guy that missed on fill in the blank, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only NFL draft quarterback that I saw that I was like, this guy is 100% going to be good. Like, this, it's like not even debatable, was Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is so obvious, you know, just watching him play at Stanford. Yeah. But then, you know, guys like Justin Herbert, who are good NFL quarterbacks, Josh Allen, obviously one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. It was not clear to me they were going to be outstanding. I mean, there were plenty of knocks on both of them. You know, go back and read them. I mean, you know, and go watch them. You could watch them. And
what
be
did
like,
you think of Mahomes in college?
Mahomes was too wild, too stupid.
That's what I was going to say.
Good, why doesn't Tech win anything? If he's good, why is he a loser?
Right. Dude, people have done a lot of revisionist history, but like, I you know, the top pro evaluators, they just looked at traits, but like that was not
dude,
the word.
People
on Mahomes.
All did that. Oh, he's so good. That's why Tech goes 5-7 every year.
Exactly.
And then the other thing is he's selfish because their defense was bad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It was tricky. What did you think of Richardson when he came out?
He's a great athlete trying to play quarterback.
Yeah, that I get weary of hearing scouts talk about quarterbacks like they're cornerbacks.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a red flag because that's the one position you can't play that game. Like,
all that stuff is a bonus.
Well, you also, they're trend chasing, right? So they're going, Lamar Jackson is really fast and he's good. And it's like, no, he's not really good because he's fat. He's good. He's really good, happens to be fast and it helps. But it's like they're like working backwards, right? And that's not how you would evaluate. So Anthony Richardson, awesome. But whenever he can throw to the moon, all those traits. But most of the stuff I wasn't here about, it wasn't quarterbacking stuff. So who did I see? Oh, Banks mocked to the Colts in a mock.
Wow, that'd be great for the Colts.
Yeah.
I think Kelvin Banks is going to play like 14 years in the NFL.
Yeah, I think really good. Who do you think is going to be our longest play? I think Jahdae Barron is going to be like a vet.
Oh, there's no doubt. But yeah. To me, Calvin Banks will be a dude playing like his late 30s if he wants to.
Yeah. All right, cool. Fun episode.
Hey, good job on college basketball, man.
Oh, dude, huge, man. I love it.
You got it.
I love it, dude. Because it's all, you know what I say, man. It's all about hitting those swishes, you know? That's what it's about. All right, yeah. Thank you, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with Ian Boyd. We also got recruiting intel in a couple hours for you recruit heads. You guys
get Ian talking college basketball. He's got some opinions.
Yeah, but the problem is I can't even check Ian. So Ian might be saying wild stuff in basketball, and I can't even counter it.
His opinions check themselves. He's very down on elite true freshmen. Yeah. And he's like, none of those guys ever panned. And I'm like, Duke is all elite true freshmen, right? And he's like, huh?
Well, that's a problem, but I can't even say that. So Ian's just going to say wild stuff, and the chat's going to be like, what are we doing? And I can't check him on anything. But all right, guys, thanks for hanging out. And this was brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Later, y'all.